Welcome and good evening. This is our sixth class in this series, which here we go, zooming along very quickly now. So let's take a few minutes to settle in here. And actually take yourself seriously to find that quiet place within, which may take a little bit of massaging, a little bit of self-talk, a little bit of grounding to bring you back in. We really have to remark on the comments this week. They're really very substantial. Huge amount of sharing happening from a very real grounded place. And this is my hope, is that by sharing in this way, we help each other. We help hold a frequency for each other to resonate with that's a little bit better than what's going on around us. So, really, really beautiful. Let's feel our feet and seat dropping in. Allow your body to soften and find a place within you that is beginning to trust the vibration of the circle. And so there's always a transition there. There's the transition from the chaos that's all around us, which your being knows not to trust. And then shifting into the circle and giving some space and time for your being to adjust to more of a trusting state within. And I'm pointing this out because the contrast between what's around us in daily life and what we have in our circle is huge. And so it takes a moment to actually start trusting the circle for your body to know that it can. And it also takes a little bit of time for the circle to get into a trustworthy place. So I want you to appreciate the adjustment that you're making and allow that to be gentle and slow without pushing. So, if there's any self-talk about, I'm not doing this right, or I'm not doing it fast enough, let's just let that sink into Mother Earth. And come back to your okayness. Again, I'm pointing out the detail of this shift. There's a part of your being that that knows the coherence that's in the circle and will gradually find that trusting place. And I want you to notice if you're pushing it on yourself in any kind of critical way. Okay, we're settling in. And so as we settle in, kind of the shadow side reveals itself. So I'm seeing people settling in, softening, loosening the grip of the self-criticism. But also there's a layer of panic that is being brought here, which I'm sure most of us are living in some form of fight, flight, or panic. And all of this is starting to come to our awareness. And we need to be able to almost talk ourselves down from it. Recognize it without grasping or attaching to it, and breathe through it, ground through it, bring up a loving inner nature to soften through it. So, as all these new frequencies are coming into the planetary sphere, they're actually enabling us to be able to see, know, reveal the conditioning that we've been patterned to. And so the skill of being able to let things come up, air out, release, recycle in a loving way is really essential. And many of you have referred to that in your comments in class or on the page. I think it needs to be re-emphasized all the time because the minute we get into kind of everyday life, that's not what's reinforced. And so we can slip into those tense and panic frequencies very easily. And we can use our mind and our discipline to have a little impact, but that uses up precious energy. So we do want to learn how to release and allow the living energies to guide us, even if they bring up unpleasant things that you don't want to feel or recognize. So I know Cindy and Russell both mentioned things like that in their comments. Oh, and by the way, Russell or Mark, did the link come up this time? Did you check it out?
Yes, the link's there now.
Okay. And can you open it? I
Yeah, I
mean,
opened it. I started reading it before class a little bit. So, yes.
okay, good. Because I had someone not from the class, but who just got it off the blog who couldn't get it open. But I never know what's going on with these things. Okay, thank you, Russell.
No problem.
So there's so much material to learn and discuss because of all the things that we're releasing and growing into. So I'm adding these extra documents as like supplementary material to help. So the one on attachments and this one's on chaos and oh, the word's going by me. Codependency and chaos and addiction to chaos. I'm being interviewed by Avea, who puts out those free symposium things for like for 5 days. And the topic is codependency and addiction to chaos. And so I'm usually the one person out of the 20 people that they interview that comes from the energy point of view. But I created that document to supplement for that interview. And that won't be out till the end of March. But I put it up on the page for everyone in the class here. Now, I'm sure you can feel the acceleration that's happening. So, with the new moon, the eclipse, the solar activity, everything, the speed has multiplied exponentially. So I'm starting the next class next week so that we don't have a gap and we can maintain the momentum. It kind of snuck up on me, so that's why I put out a reminder in the email that you received and the newsletter that went out. And so you might take a look at that. But we've got this sweeping momentum that is going to be leading up to the spring equinox. So you really have to watch your own self-talk and maintain your grounding practice. You're not trying to keep up with it, you're trying to flow with it. So, when you flow and ground with Mother Earth, you're flowing the energies of this ascension cycle. And as we've mentioned in some of the meditations before, you want to come out of the mind and just allow the energies or your sinking into a quieter space to happen and not try to do anything. There we go. Got the light coming in now. Ananda, were you going to say something?
I just wanted to mention that the images that you've been putting up, if people just sort of breathe them in, they, without a lot of words, there's just such a very direct, like if someone's wanting to tune into the circle, I mean, breathing in one of your images, or someone's trying to feel more deeply grounded, just breathing in your images, just they're so potent and profound, and they kind of bypass words.
Thank you for hearing that language. That's really my primary language is, visual art, and that's my preferred language. So I really appreciate it, Ananda. And I create those in a deep place. And it's also frustrating because I can't quite get them exactly where I want them. But I'm getting there. But they do convey the frequency, so.
Yeah, they're very, very rich, and they you just you breathe in the transmission, and it just it's very, yeah, it's beyond words.
So, Ananda, when you get beyond words, what does it feel like for you?
Well, there's an arising of joy. It's just such an expansive embrace. It's like somehow words put up a intermediate step, almost a barrier. I mean, the Tao that can be named is not the eternal Tao, and you, it's just so, it's such a relief to just skip over the words and just feel the inherent joy of and beauty of manifestation.
Well, aren't you just grounded? That's your experience of grounding, Ananda. That's a beautiful state. So glad to hear that. Thank you. So, hey, Russell, would you be willing to share a little of your terrifying experience?
Somehow I knew you were going to ask me that. I tried to be as descriptive as I could without writing a novel, and I know it was long.
It's fine that it's long. Yeah.
yeah, it just began to spiral in like a nanosecond. It just caught me off guard, and I got into this really, I was trying to have dinner. And then I almost had this feeling like I was going to choke on my food, and I was not choking. But then it just spiraled into this really feeling unsafe and very panicky. And so then I let that go. I fed it, and then once I went and sat down on the couch, and I just started to ground, but then that grounding felt really intense, and that sort of scared me. So then I spiraled in another direction.
Let me ask you, interrupt you for a second. When you say it felt really intense, what did that mean?
So when I'm grounding, I could feel it coming up through me, and it can change from time to time, but it felt like The energy just felt really like rushing, like very fast, and very the sensation was much stronger than I typically feel it. And then I also had very subtle feelings that I've never felt before. Like I could feel a very thin, intense line of energy coming up both legs, and then concentric energy, and it was different in different parts of my legs. And so then that for some reason just made me panic a little bit more. And then I was just trying to distract myself. And then I was like, okay, I'm distracting myself. But then another seed of panic would come in. And then that's when I would go back to the grounding. And then after like four iterations of that, that's when I realized, oh wow, time is slowing down. And I could then really easily see like this seed of fear that came in. And then my mind would latch on to that. And then my mind would just accelerate it. And so I was experiencing it, but I was also witnessing it at the same time. And then that was like my aha moment. And then I could then ground and then calm my mind, and then that started to take effect. And then when another seed of fear would come in, then I could catch it more quickly, and I wouldn't let my mind spiral as much, and then I could ground more quickly. And then that just went on, and I was not happy. I wasn't comfortable in this whole experience, but at the same time, the observer part of me was like, oh, this is a really great learning opportunity, and this is happening for you. And it was really a gift that the time could slow down in the way that I could really see the spiraling and not just get lost in it. I think that was the real magical point for me in that whole experience.
That was a real experience of grounding. And the intelligence and wisdom of the energy to know how to release some of that embedded conditioning and wounds that we hold in our being. But the beautiful thing about that is, and I'm going to use a different word here tonight. I want to introduce the word. You did not collapse in the process. You stayed with it, and so that it could move through you and bring you into greater realization and greater healing. And that took a lot. I mean, you really, really stayed with it and quote, did not collapse.
It's really scary, and I don't think I would have used that word that day, but that's exactly what I think that's what I was fearing. Like I was fearing I was going to collapse, like almost like literally I felt like I could die for some reason, and it was just like, yeah, it was exactly this fear of collapse. And then what happens? Then I just, then I disintegrate.
Right. And I mean, I've had times when I've had this inner scream, it's not like an outer scream, but my whole being screaming at what was releasing. So there can be this deep panic and fear that comes up when we're allowing ourselves to really come into the flow of the living energies and the intelligence of those frequencies, because our lives are so far off from that. And Cindy, Reikau, you mentioned the fear that was coming up in you too.
Oh
Do you want to?
yeah, I've been dealing with that though for a while and really trying to show up myself, and it does trigger a lot of fear in me.
So here we are in a process of meeting this emergent aspect of ourselves, this new being that is birthing through our old being. And we are in transition. On an energy level, your new earth being is already formed, but it is still interacting with the cellular structure and the brain and the emotions of your old paradigm being. So we're very much in a transitional state. Now, we might be all over the place tonight, but we're going to pick up some threads that are just hanging out there. So one of the characteristics of the new earth being is that your higher being is no longer outside of you. It is within you. And I want you to feel what it feels like to reorient from looking outside, up, out, around to a higher being and feeling it, sensing somehow that it is in you, that it is you now, and that there is nowhere outside of you to try to get to. That there's a new program, you've had a new update. Actually, a whole new computer hard drive in you. I want you to sense that if you can. Just even the contrast between how we were habitually trained to kind of think of the higher being as up around, beyond the body, as something to merge with, attain, grow into. And now it's in us. We are it. It has arrived within us with the shifting of these planetary energies. What does that feel like?
This is Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna kind of bring this all together because it feels connected in my experience this week with the fear and my higher being now being me. I had an experience this week where there's a practice that I do. It's called Insight Out Loud, and it's just a very simple process of, when there's something going on, just asking, what am I aware of? And then naming that, and then saying, can I be with that? And I keep going. And so I was doing that process with fear, with the specific fear that just was so, I mean, the panic that people were talking about, Russell, and for me, it was this fear of all of the horrible things that can happen on this planet. It was like this part of me that was just saying, it's horrible. It's like at any moment, anything can happen that's just terrible, and to my children, to myself, to people in the and it just was discharging, and I held space for that aspect of myself, and it didn't want to have anything to do with comfort
I didn't want to, you know, there was a point at which, you know, can I hug you? Can I, you know, it's like, no, because that's just about you wanting me to be different than I am. And so it was just an amazing process. And at the end of it, there was this beautiful moment of, it's okay that you feel that way. That it's okay. I'm here. I'm here with you. And until you just said what you said, I don't know. I wasn't necessarily thinking, I was thinking of that aspect of myself as, I don't know. I guess I didn't name it, but that is what it is. It's my higher being who is loving and holding these fears that are coming up, these aspects of my, and I guess I'll say from this conversation, aspects of my old self. And so that just feels like this beautiful coming together of what we've been talking about tonight, like the two things. So, yeah.
So this is a skill we're developing. And you see, there's nowhere to get to.
Yeah.
But there is a skill at learning how to hold yourself and allow what you were feeling was the planet, the humanity's fear. That's what you were feeling, Lori. You were picking up the
Yeah, it's pretty
frequency.
intense. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yes. And it is hard to sometimes, like, part of me might have had that thought, but it's just amazing too. It's like how much I, you know, forget that this isn't just my thing, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, we really have to watch and be aware of what we're mirroring from around us, and then hold it like you did until you find that loving place where it can flow and release again. What if that's the definition of enlightenment? So there's an anchoring going on now, with the aid of our luminous guides and radiant beings, where they're really anchoring this higher consciousness into our Dantian area, the lower belly root. It's truly being anchored there tonight. Mean, this is happening right now.
Sarah, this is Cindy. Were you saying earlier that our higher being is being brought in to our physical body? I was half listening, but I can feel something coming in that is so powerful and solid and strong and regal. And expansive and so quiet and still, but with so much life and vibrancy. This is a feeling I know, which surprised me. When I was three, like 3 years old, I used to be woken up in the middle of the night. It happened a couple times, and I would just lay there in this feeling. And I didn't think I'd ever feel it again.
Hey, Sarah. It's Krishna. And I also wanted to share my experience. I know about 2 weeks ago, I was feeling the panic, the fear that everyone was feeling, seemed to be feeling this week. And I came to class, and it was after class I spoke, and I just broke down crying. And I cried and I sobbed and in front of all of you. And after that class, I the fear had gone away, the panic had gone away, but I felt this huge embarrassment that I had cried. And I'm like, oh my God, what are they going to think of me? I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back. And then I felt something within me that said, this is where you were. You were being who you are at this time. You were being vulnerable. And that is okay. And then this week, I traveled this week to see my parents. My mom's health is not doing well. And on the way back, I was in an airplane. And I was thinking about leaving them and how sad I was. And I just tried to ground myself. I don't know if you can ground yourself in an airplane, but
yes,
I
you
sat
can.
There.
As
okay.
long as there's gravity, as long as there's gravity, you can ground.
Okay. Well, I felt I was grounded and I sat with my feet and I just thought, and tears started coming out of my eyes. And I was in an airplane and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I cannot cry in front of all these people. This is so embarrassing. Again, I felt that same feeling. And then I felt, it's okay. I'm allowing them to see something that they might have a hard time doing. It is my pain and it is okay if they see it, or my sadness. It wasn't pain, it was sadness. And I sat and the tears came down, but I had my eyes closed. They went away. I felt grounded and great by the end of the trip. And when I opened my eyes, the person sitting across the road from me said, how was your trip? And I said, it was good, you know? And he said, well, I'm glad. I'm glad. And he spoke to me in this most loving, loving way. And I had not spoken to him before. And there was something that I felt that he had felt, or maybe he saw me crying and he felt bad for me, but it was something even bigger than that. And so I left that, you know, the airplane, and I walked out and met my family, and I felt so different inside. And that I just want to share that.
This is all of us becoming truly embodied with these living energies.
Yeah, it definitely felt it was coming from within. It felt really like everyone's been saying, just great, amazing, joyful almost.
And you had to stay with it.
I had to, yes.
Without collapsing.
Right.
Okay. And of course we're going to collapse at times, for sure. But let's just use that word for now among us, that when we're not staying with it, when we're not able to stay with it, we recognize that somehow there's something within us that's collapsing, that's not receiving, aligning with or flowing with those living energies, and that we can come back to it and we can collapse. And this is holding a truly embodied, realized state. There's nothing perfect about it, but there's a lot that's beautiful about it.
This is Penny. I am so grateful for the clarity you are. Everybody has been so helpful in their sharing. It is saying what is, what we're going through. And it's electrifying what I understand. So thank you, everybody.
Penny, have you been doing better? Is the depression lifting?
Yeah. It's, I'm going through, hell right now, but it is worth it in the end. I'm beginning to see the light of day, and I'm so hopeful.
Oh, good.
And I'm so glad I came tonight. It's just the buoyancy of your sharing is pulling me out of it. So I thank you for that.
Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is Tracy. I agree. I think this sharing tonight is so helpful and comforting. And I had wanted to share something that I experienced today. Well, two things. It was really interesting because it's been freezing here in the Northeast, if we had like a blizzard. But I found this little spot where I sit out on my brick patio because I remember brick being grounding. And so I sat on the brick this morning, even though I put a towel down, but I figured I could still ground through that. And I connected to Mother Earth, and I could all of a sudden I called in my helpers, and I noticed something, an energy come down between my shoulder blades, which was really interesting. It felt like a snake-like energy down through my tops of my shoulder blades. And then I was like, oh, wow, that was interesting. And then I ended up going out a little later to help my husband again to shovel the driveway. And I started to feel this, oh, like this dense energy coming up that was almost like, felt like shame or like some part of myself that, yeah, clearly I didn't want to see. And it was very challenging to be with it. And when I came inside, you know, I kind of thought to myself, ooh, like, was that like the collective or? And so I'm curious, when you talk about be careful mirroring the energies around you, can you explain that a little bit more? Like, I'm kind of like wondering how that would present itself and if the energies that we feel are always ours and that we are transmuting them, or I guess I'm just a little confused about that.
Okay, I will try my best. So the main way we know these, whether this energy is ours or not, is by the reference point we have a being connected to ourselves. So in one sense, it doesn't matter if it's yours or someone else's, as long as you have the ability to ground and return. Then the second thing is, I used to have a handout that had like three concentric circles, or four maybe. And it showed that the inner circle was made up of all the thoughts and feelings of the people that are close to you. So your family, your close friends, the neighborhood, you know, whatever people you interact with a lot, or who are you're still connected to, even though you don't interact with them a lot, like a family member that was close, but you don't talk to a lot. There's still a connection there. Then the next concentric ring, does some of you remember this? Like Cindy, you would remember. Then the next concentric ring would be like your neighborhood, the community, the school that your kids go to, or your workplace. More distant people that are less connected to you. And then the third concentric ring would be like the country, the United States in this case, your community, your state, the politics, the business world. And then the fourth concentric ring would be the whole planet. And so that gives you kind of an organized way of sifting through some of the material that you might be picking up. So the first thing I do is just clear and come back to my clear self without worrying about whose energy is whose. Then, in all honesty, the second thing I do is I blame Ken. We're just going to be honest here. Tell him, get in a better place. And because, you know, I'm with him all day long, all night long, and we feel each other a lot. But then I can recognize when I'm picking up one of my daughters, I know her energy. I know the energy of my other daughter, and they're very different, very distinct. And I can, over time, recognize their energies. So I can tell if someone's having a hard time that day or if something's going on with them. Either way, I don't yell at them like I yell at Ken. But either way, I'll ground and I'll just go into a radiant space as best as I can. And, you know, with your children, they're very close to you, or your pets, your close friends. And so you don't send energy to them, but you become clear so that your clarity, since you're so deeply connected to them, will support them in their clarity and their clearer frequency. And then there might be something going on in your community, you know, in your politics or the place you work. And you start to get to know that frequency. And it's like having signatures, energy signatures of the places and people that are in your sphere of being. And then, you know, the political atmosphere we're in right now, no matter what, it spikes several times a day with panic and fear. And so getting to recognize that signature and being able to come back. So the important thing is that you're not attaching to it with any kind of mental thought or judgment, but that you recognize it, like Russell said, just objectively, and you come back and come back and come back. That's return, 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 return. And literally, you just start recognizing. So you recognize what your husband's energy is like when he's in a bad mood. You recognize what your mother or cousins or whatever, what they're like in a bad mood, or, you know, and you just start to know the signature. And you come back without judging it and without holding on to it. So sometimes we don't want to know. We don't want to know because we feel like we can't control what's going on with other people. And sometimes we've idealized other people. Sometimes we've demonized other people. And so just identifying the signature for yourself in some kind of shorthand and then returning to yourself is what you learn to do. Every day that I see clients, I can recognize the signature of each client. When I'm meditating in the morning, before I meet with them, and bring in the light to myself so that fortifies what's going to happen later when I meet with them. So you start to be able to recognize these with practice. So there's no simple formula for it, but it takes practice. Was that helpful?
Yeah, thank you. That was actually really helpful because that's something I'm actually pretty good at, is picking up on energy signatures. And sometimes I can tell when something is moving through my field that feels ancestral, or yeah, feels, yeah, I know what you're saying. So, and that's great about, you know, it doesn't really matter. You could just remember to come back to your center, because I feel like right now there's so much moving through many of our fields that's clearing. And Right. We don't always need to know what it is. And if it is uncomfortable or dense, again, trying not to demonize it or put judgment to it, again, witness in awareness, and then, like you said, ground and come back to your heart center or that place within yourself that you know, yeah, is like the neutral observer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
And
that's
you're
really helpful.
You're filling back up.
Right, right.
And Cindy, you mentioned in your post that, I don't know if you saw my comment, I basically yelled at you, but how can you not be afraid of what you don't know, what's hidden? Well, there's always going to be something hidden. Always.
It was actually my fear of being seen at all, not the unseen. I know there's more. That part I embrace. I know that this path is a receding horizon, but I have been conditioned to be invisible, literally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're finding your voice and your presence now.
Oh, yes. At least I try.
But we're always evolving, so there's always something that we don't know. Always. We always have blind spots. We always have hidden subconscious qualities that will continue to help us evolve and will continue to reveal themselves. So, I've said this before, it's getting comfortable with the unknown. And the way I get comfortable with the unknown is by returning to my grounded space where I actually feel the living energies bringing me back to life, to center, to flow. And that's where I feel comfortable. Who else just came on?
This is Ananda.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to ask about the capacity of when one is feeling, the torture of the whole world or the fear and panic of the whole world, how is it possible to feel that and stay centered? I mean, it just seems, yeah, I'm flashing back on a childhood experience where I saw some footage of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew me apart. I just couldn't believe I was watching this, bulldozers shoveling around these starved,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just shattered me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely shattered me. So okay, so now I'm older, now I have more capacity. I have, the grounding, but how, when the weight of everyone's suffering, someone's tuning into that, I just don't see how you can feel all of that and still have any level of centeredness or clarity. It seems like collapse would be, yeah, it seems like one would collapse.
So, and by the way, I have the same thing. I'm haunted by the Holocaust every day. So from those images and from being Jewish, being raised Jewish, when I talk about sitting in the arms of Mother Earth, sitting in her heart, that is a literal state for me. It is a felt, embodied sense of being held and embraced. And I have practiced enough over 50 years to make that an everyday reality for me. And that gives me the capacity to be able to be with tragic things and be held simultaneously. So when I say literal, I experience as my reality being held by Mother Earth. I feel it in the energy that circulates through my being, in the way my chakras circulate, everything about my being, 90% of the time, experiences that being held. And that's the divine feminine. That's the goddess. And that's been absent in our culture. We have not learned the way of the goddess of being held in this type of primal love, primordial love, that is our birthright. We were not meant to live on earth without the experience of the goddess holding us. That has been so absent. That gives me the greatest pain, is to know that people do not know this feeling. And so all these practices for grounding and becoming embodied and realizing the way the living energies hold us and enliven us brings us to that sphere, that wholeness of the experience of being held, where we know we're not doing it just by our sheer will, which runs out at some point. So you're not expected to be able to hold that without being held yourself. Our circle is another place where we're being held. And that's part of this, you know, raise yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality that has undermined and disempowered our culture and brought it to a decline, to the end of a cycle. But it's a true, real, lived, embodied experience. And every time your feet can feel those energies through Mother Earth, you're reconnecting with that holding. And over time and practice, you begin to feel that as your living reality. So however you know how to be held is the way you're able to hold the tragedies that you experience. So breaking down that conditioning of thinking we have to do it all by ourselves, that has been just a huge job. That does not come down easily. Can everyone see how you default to that so easily? my fault, default. You default to my fault, thinking it's my fault. I can't do this. I mean, I could go on about this for hours. That's where my teachings come from. But this is really important to understand and start allowing, and allowing that wall to come down that's been built up, not by you, but by the ignorance of the culture.
There's definitely a sense that it's my responsibility to learn to deal with my crap, or to, you know, learn to be able to witness without getting sucked in. Yeah, there's that. I'm very aware that that's a strong sense that I have in me, that it is ultimately it's my responsibility.
Exactly. You've named it perfectly. And so that inner space that we're cultivating is helping to bring that to the surface and helping to shift it into a different reality. But you see how deeply that conditioning runs. So when we convene a circle and I mention, oh, there's a lot of heavy energy here tonight, okay? And people might feel good coming into the circle, which is great, but what I'm looking at is the heavy energy that's generated by not being held and know you're living being held by the Great Mother, the Great Feminine Consciousness. And so I am seeing that heavy energy, not for each person personally, but for what's brought in by contacting the culture and just having that activated in our beings. I hope that made sense. So I'm seeing on this broader level. And when we go into circle and we start feeling those energies with our feet and our calf muscles start releasing and the tailbone starts dropping and the root chakra, the kundalini in us meets the kundalini love in Mother Earth, it's all that love. And it surrounds us in that sphere of holding, being held. And when that sphere breaks, when it has cracks and holes in it, we just collapse through those holes, through those leaking spaces. And that's created by the conditioning. And that's what traditions have called ignorance. That's what the Buddhists would call it, a type of ignorance. And we're moving into this world now where being embodied, living the embodiment of the divine within us, means it's in this community of love. It's not just physical beings being a community. It is understanding the energetics and the frequencies of what's available in our multidimensional being. And so that workshop that I'm giving at the end of March about living our multidimensional being really is about this topic, about how we begin living this reality and it dissolving that sense of having to do it on our own. And the reason I'm working with that topic of the Thank you for getting the word. That's on the new journal. Boy, that word's just not coming in tonight.
Codependence.
Codependence, thank you. The codependence and chaos is us confusing our yearning for being held and loved on the universal level, confusing it with the personal level. And so there is a yearning to be held and loved, which is part of that universal consciousness. It's the feminine and the masculine coming into its balanced flow, and the strength and the wisdom and the compassion holds us, in truly, truly holds us. And we live it. And I can't say that word. I don't know why. It just goes right out my head. What is it again? I can't. Just gone.
Codependence.
Codependence.
I know a lot about that, so I don't forget that word.
Thank you. I literally, it's just like blank. Okay. So the codependency is coming from this place of wanting to know that you're held. You know, you're merging with whatever can feel safe and can hold you, no matter how good it is for you or not. But it's just a confusion because we haven't been taught how to understand this lived experience. So take a look at that journal that I put up and the themes that I put in it, because it really is important to understand that we want to merge. We want to merge with the universal oneness. We want to be merge with the goddess and the divine. That is the yearning of the soul to return to its home. But then we forget and get confused and try to do it on a personal level instead of a cosmic level. Anyway, where am I? Where are we?
Oh, Sarah, I was just going to say, I have a request for a primordial goddess grounding meditation.
Well, okay. Did that make sense to people? I kind of went off into my own where I'm really at instead of continuing with the teachings of the class. But I hope that helped open something up in people here tonight. Okay, so let's do a little grounding here. So when we drop down into the root chakra, down into the base of our torso, we're coming home. We're coming home to our base, our foundation. And it's different every time. And some days it's fuller, some days it's not as full, but the practice of doing it every day, several times a day, helps bring that into your reality. And so in that root chakra is the feminine goddess. That is where the goddess Kundalini resides. That is where the perfection of wisdom, where our divinity resides. It doesn't reside in the crown chakra. It resides in the root chakra. And that root chakra is what connects us to Mother Earth and connects us to the greater, a greater womb, a greater foundation. And that expands out into the cosmos and on and on and on until you feel an experience that is beyond. So just allow yourself to settle as best as you can. And just a sense of your seat on your seat cushion. It's somatic and embodied. And note how you feel, how your breath changes, how your emotions change, how you may feel like you never want to do anything in this world ever again. And that's what's scary. Because when you do settle into these deeper states, you don't want to participate in the way you've always participated. But that doesn't mean there aren't new ways of participating that emerge. Now see, as the whole group begins to settle in this way, the sacred circle starts to come alive. And it's in that process right now. And you might feel some vibration or sensing in your legs and your feet now, and a sense of expansion in the root center, or being more seated. Like, I think it's Gary Zukav who had that book, Seated in the Soul, S-E-A-T-E-D. And this is where the connection, where our Kundalini resonates with the Kundalini, and that's goddess to goddess of Mother Earth, and it resonates with the cosmic goddess, and it's all resonance. It's vibrating, coming alive. And it really is important to have your legs participate in this. Now, as this root chakra and the energy, the living energies start to replenish us, those living energies start to reweave and heal the breaks and holes in the sphere that's meant to hold us. So, in many of the images that I create, there's that sphere. And if you look at the images, any religious images, there's always spheres. And so as these energies from the earth resonate with the energies in our root chakra and then with our body, there's a repair and a healing that starts to happen, that starts to repair those wounds and repair the illnesses and diseases, and starts to form this whole sphere around us of energy that's made up of the chakras and the meridians and the membrane of the ether that holds us. And this is when all the repetitive responses and reactions start to dissolve. And we start to have fresh responses to life. We drop the same old, and something new can come through. But it's because we're being repaired and we're being made whole again with this sphere, this living membrane that pulses like a heart that holds us. And we have the sphere of the circle that forms as each person's personal sphere starts to activate and come alive again. And so if you picture the image of the flower of life that's made up of all those intersecting spheres with the vesica Pisces in between every intersection of a sphere, that vesica Pisces, that little almond shape, is the gateway where the energies meet in an aliveness and open up gateways to more expanded consciousness. But our circle, with each person forming their sphere by grounding and making it whole again, we become that flower of life. There we go. Once that flower of life and the circle starts to come into its fullness, then that axis forms. It becomes visible. And that toroidal field starts digesting. It's spinning, it's active, it's alive. And the axis of your being starts to become revealed, and the axis of the circle, and we're in a dynamic flow of recycling, taking the heavy energies and recycling them into the light, the fuel for the light. It's a very alchemical. And you have to allow yourself, allow the mind to relax and release. And that's not easy to do in our culture. And so when the mind gets too engaged, you go back down to the root, to the base of your torso, shifting out of that activity into a more somatic experience. Because the body itself is perfection. What an incredible synergistic system it is. And so there's a harmony in the body no matter what's wrong with us. The structure of the body is incredibly harmonious. And so we are processing the heavy energies now. And we get help with this. This is when we can realize that we're not doing this by our own will and individually. That's when we can experience the greater luminous beings that join with us But we have to do our part in meeting them, in recognizing them, in doing what we can to prepare to be in a state where we can meet them. And as this energy flows, our bodies can start to feel better. We have more vital energy in us, which brings the physical structures into more flow, brings the emotions into digestible forms, illuminates the thoughts so that they start to dissolve. And some of you can start to feel the energy flowing through you, like my hands and feet are very energetic right now. My crown is very energetic, heart. Everything becomes pure flow. And you have to watch out what you're projecting onto this flow. Note any kind of old programming that you project onto the flow, and then release it. You might notice that the second chakra is starting to relax. It's releasing some more heavy energy. You might be able to sense how luminous your interior state is becoming. How settled in your being you are right now, without trying to know anything. Being settled is good. So that's the beginning of shifting into this experience of being held. So let's this week, two things. Notice, like Ananda said, how very aware she is of how self-responsible she feels. And note that in yourself, how piercingly hard and scathing it is within you. It's like taking a sword and just ripping us apart. That's what it's doing all the time. People would call it flight and, you know, the nervous system activation. But on a energetic level, it's even more violent. And let's identify kindly, lovingly, when we collapse. And see if that helps you, by identifying it, helps you resurrect from that collapse. Maybe it makes it a little easier to come back to center, to groundedness. Not in a judgmental way. Darn, I collapsed again. No, not like that. More like someone hit me from behind the knees and my knees buckled and I need to regain my center, my strength. Okay. So let's look at that this week and see what unfolds from that. Any comments as we close here?
Sarah?
Yeah.
Hey, for my practice this week, I'm finding that this energy that we just sat in makes me so nauseous. I'm checking my feet and my tailbone, but is there anything else I should be checking so that it's more palpable for more digestible for my body?
You know, I've had other people had that response. So before going down to your root chakra, I'd spend a little more time by the navel area. And somatically feeling that area soften and release, allowing the breathing to get deeper and more gently coming into the lower part of your body. It's like decompression, you know, when someone's coming up from scuba diving or something, you have to stop at certain stages and allow your being to adjust. Okay. So I would go there and let yourself adjust at that level. And there just may be some old stuff that wants to release there. And just go very gently with yourself. Don't push it. Just see if you can relax into it and just hope, let your breath becomes easier. And if you have to move around, go ahead and walk around and move your body and see what your being wants to do instead of sitting there and being nauseous. Okay, let go, be a little more flexible and gentle with moving into it.
Thank you.
I hope that's helpful.
It is.
Okay. Okay, anyone else? Okay, so it's not really the end of one class. We're just like sliding right into the next one. So, and take a look at those journals and see if they're helpful. And we'll go from there. Okay, much love and many blessings.